Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm really excited about this week's episode. I interviewed a childhood friend of mine, and her name is Jenny. You can find Jenny on Instagram, Poshmark, and eBay under the username NW, like Northwest, NW, Cedar, and Sage. And all this information will be in the show notes for you to look at. Jenny is a full-time employee at a very profitable eBay business. She works there doing customer service among many other jobs. They sell primarily musical instruments. However, by night, Jenny is a part-time clothing reseller. And so we talk all about how she balances and manages it all while being married and also having three kids. Did I mention that part yet? All right, let's get into the episode. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Denali. It's nice to be here.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good.
I'm so excited to have you here with me. Thank you for giving me some time during your day, because I know we're speaking while you're at your job right now.
Yeah, basically. It's the only place where I knew that my kids wouldn't run in and start yelling in the background. So
yeah,
I thought that was the safest spot to do it.
I feel you on that. Yes, children running in the background. Well, full disclosure to listeners, Jenny and I have been, I don't want to say lifelong friends, but a long time.
A long time. Yeah.
A lot of our lives. Yeah. I mean, not, what's the plural of that? Jenny and I have known each other since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, probably knew each other. Well,
I would say we started being friends in 10th grade, I would say. And we started working together, maybe 11th grade at the cookie company.
Yes, Jenny and I worked at a bakery together, so we have a long, very long history together that would probably be a whole other episode in itself. Maybe mildly embarrassing for both of us.
We could talk about prom night. I mean, there's all sorts of things God. We could go on and on about it.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a lot of dirt on me.
So. likewise, but that's another show.
Exactly. That's our next podcast. Well, I wanted to have you on here today because our lives, you know, have come back together in an interesting way in that they both involve reselling. So,
yes.
So I guess just to jump right into it, how and when did reselling come into your life?
Well, when I started reselling, I didn't even really realize that's what I was doing. I worked at a really nice high-end restaurant in, over in Washington wine country in Woodinville. And we had a regular customer who would come in pretty frequently. He still goes every Thanksgiving, every New Year's Eve. So I've spent a lot of holidays with the person who's my boss now, but that's where I met him. He actually hired one of my coworkers, and they became friends, and he hired her, and she quit working at the restaurant. And, you know, maybe a year down the line into that, she just called me one day. She's like, you know what? Someone quit. Do you think maybe, I don't know, it's not that great of a job, but, you know, do you maybe want to come in and work a couple hours? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. That sounds good. I'm always looking for something that will work with my schedule. So that was probably like 2015 or 16, mm-hmm. I guess. And so I was working for my boss, who is the largest seller of band and orchestra instruments on eBay and Reverb, which is another, it's like eBay, but for musical instruments only.
Mm-hmm.
And musical accessories. So here's me. I've never played an instrument before. I don't know how to play. I couldn't, like, at this time, like, I couldn't tell you, like, the difference between, like, a clarinet and an oboe. Like, I've come so far. I know so much. So, yeah. And I ended up working eBay's basically my full-time job. At this point, I'm a salaried employee. I do a lot of different things for the company, but mostly I hang out on eBay and answer customer questions and push orders through. I'm also the point person for all of our Reverb sales. So I work with all the customers. I work with our reps from different companies. And yeah, I have like my air quotes corporate job is an eBay job. So that's what I do.
Awesome. Okay. And I have lots of questions about that, but well, maybe I'll just jump into that first. So you started working there, you said 2015?
I think so. It might have been 2016. I'm trying to judge by like how old my middle child was at the time, because yeah. I remember him being a baby. So I feel like it was either the late 2015 or maybe early 2016.
Okay.
Probably early 2016.
Okay, gotcha. So your coworker tells you about this job. You also knew the customer. You start working there. I mean, what did you think of it? Because I think a lot of times when people think of eBay or online selling platforms, right, they don't think much of it, right? They don't think of it as some multi-million dollar company. Yeah, they don't think of it as a real job. So, I mean, coming into it, were you surprised to see this large scale operation?
Well, I mean, I feel like you've been to where I work, and when you look at it, you don't know that it's a large scale operation. Like, you don't know, you can't tell by looking at it how big it is. Because there's only a couple of us who work there, you know, a handful, maybe five or six if I counted it out. Mm-hmm. And we work in a house that no one lives in, but it's like this giant house in a residential neighborhood with like mm-hmm. chickens across the street. And like, it doesn't look like what it is. So when I got there, my first job working there was to do the shipping. And mm-hmm. so like, okay, I just figure out what things are and where they are. And then I put them in a box and I put a label on them, and we had a program to do everything. So I just learned the program and I was like, okay, this is fine. But then I just kept adding things to my, to everything I was doing until I was working there all the time doing all the things.
So, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't think of it like even now, like I said, starting out, like I didn't really think of it as a reselling job because mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, this is just a regular job working for a store, just in a weird place out of somebody's house. So
what are all the different, I guess, you know, I know there's not a lot of people that work there, but what are all the different departments that exist?
Okay, so we have one person who is our full-time shipper. And I love her so much. She's so great. And she is also a mom. And Angela and I do all the hiring when we mm-hmm. hire people. She's my coworker, Angela. That's who I worked with at the restaurant as well. And her and I work side by side up. And we used to call ourselves the kitchen staff because we literally worked in a kitchen, like next to a stove. That was our desk. Since then, we've moved into the solarium. So we're really moving up in the world because now we have lots of windows. But anyway, we're both moms. So we basically hire moms and friends and people we like. And it's great because we always have nice people around. But so we have our shipper and she's a mom. She lives nearby, which is really convenient, especially when we have like bad snow and no one wants to drive out to, you know, drive out to the house because mm-hmm. they don't plow the roads. So she lives really close by. It's really convenient. So we have our shipping department. We've got our repair team, which is clutch. Like we couldn't do our business without having a really strong repair team, because a lot of what we do is take old undervalued instruments and spruce them up and send them out so they can be played. So we have three repair people, one who focuses on brass, which is like, you know, your trumpets and trombones and French horns, and the other who does woodwinds, which is saxophones and clarinets. And then we have another guy who's also kind of a partner with the business, who's our repair like master, and he can fix anything, like anything in the world. And he's like one of the most interesting people ever. He can fix anything and do anything. And it's just like, whenever I have a problem, I think like, oh, what would Brad do? Let me ask Brad about it. He always has a solution. So he's a really cool person. He used to have his own store as well. And then we have our owner, Matt, who does all of the listing mm-hmm. because he has all of the know-how and the knowledge about the different instruments. This is a really like niche market. So you have to have a lot of knowledge to make this work, which is why there's not a lot of other competition out there, because mm-hmm. not that many people know something about everything. And because he's been selling used instruments for over 20 years online. Mm-hmm. So he runs our listings and kind of is the big picture person. Mm-hmm. And then there's Angela and I, and we take care of everything else. So I focus on customer service mostly. Mm-hmm. She focuses on operations. Like, she designed our website and she makes sure everything looks good. And if I bring a problem to her, she says, okay, well, let me figure out how to solve that. And then she does, which is like the best quality to have in a coworker in the world, is to say like, okay, we have this problem. I don't know what to do about it. What do you think? And then because I will just be like, well, I'll find every single workaround to not have to figure out something new. And she's the opposite of that. She was like, well, let's solve it right now. And, okay, great. Thank goodness.
So you guys sound like a good pairing at work.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I hope I'm a good team member to her, because she's sure a good team member to me.
So what are the customer service issues that you're running into? I mean, you know, the first thing that would pop out at me would be returns, I guess I'm curious about that, but also what other things come up for you?
Okay. So I hear, like, because I follow on the reselling community, and mm-hmm. I look around and I look at people's posts, and everyone's always complaining about returns, but returns are just like, that's what happens. That's just life, you know?
Right.
We are top rated sellers, so we have to require 30-day returns, mm-hmm. which is a lot. And sometimes people take advantage of it, sometimes they don't. But I mean, that's just the nature of it. People want to return things. I help them do that, and that's fine. I don't get mad about it, because that's just how it is.
Right.
Especially since, you know, musical instruments can be very subjective as to how they play. So if it doesn't work for someone, they should be able to return it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't have any problems with that. And I just feel like that's my advice to anyone who's like, oh, I'm having a hard time with customers. Like, you know, don't take that stuff personally at all. That's just how it is.
So are people wanting to return items because they don't appear as advertised? Are they, you know, do items ever arrive damaged? Do you get stuff? Does stuff ever get lost in the mail? I mean, obviously, you know, a clothing seller, right, they might be sending like a $20 t-shirt, but instruments, we're looking at hundreds, possibly thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, and yes, things do get lost in the mail occasionally, but mm-hmm. it's pretty rare. Most things, one problem that we've had that has popped up a few times this year is that the post office won't scan something. Mm-hmm. So they'll take it and then they won't scan it. And then the customer's like, well, wait a minute, where is it? You had gave me a tracking number. It's not tracking. And so then I have to just say, hey, you know what? I bet it's going to show up anyway. And people are like, people don't really want to hear that.
Right.
But you say it in the nicest possible way, just to let you know, this happens sometimes. And every single time it's always shown up, mm-hmm. and it always does. And then they feel better. But like that week where it's just not tracking is the worst. And I hate that they don't scan, but I mean, it just happens. So you just deal with it, and you just tell your customers in the nicest possible way to please be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are great. We have really great customers. And occasionally there's people who, you know, aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have somebody who would buy mouthpieces, mm-hmm. Like really fancy gold plated, like expensive, you know, $500, $600 mouthpieces. And this person works on a cruise ship. I know, because I ship it to them at different ports all over. And because I'm also doing the customer service. I know who they are because I know their name, I know their address. And it's like, okay, we're sending it to this person again.
Yeah.
And he'll send it to a cruise ship and then it comes back 29 days later. and then they'll do it to a different mouthpiece. So it's, you know, like they're just renting it basically. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, you have to play by the eBay rules and you have to accept those 30-day returns, even though there are a few people out there who are less scrupulous than others.
Yeah.
But I'd say like 99% of our customers are great and honest. And I think that that's true for, you know, even clothes, no matter what you're selling. I think people are pretty good in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point of view anyway.
Yeah.
Even though I work in customer service.
Right. Well, I mean, if for you to stay in customer service, I think you have to have that belief.
I think so. Maybe that's it. There's always going to be a few bad seeds, but I think our customers, I think, are great. And I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, even though I've heard, you know, the old, oh, my kid ordered this. I've heard it, you know, I'd be rich if I had a penny for every time.
Yep.
It's like, I know that's not true, but someone's, for whatever reason, they're deciding to say that. I don't care. I'll just cancel your order for you. It's fine.
Yeah.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
I'm wondering, I mean, because for the most part you're selling, right? It's just instruments that you're selling. You don't have like weird one-off items for the most part, but I'm curious, can you think of like interesting sales that you've had or,
Well, I would say we actually have a lot of weird one-off items.
Okay.
Because I mean, that's, kind of like, that's our main market is weird one-off items. Mm-hmm. That's what we're known for. Is having weird, rare things because, you know, we sell about half and half new and vintage instruments. So about half new because we are we're dealers. We're actual like registered dealers with you know, the different makers of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But we also sell these cool vintage instruments, and we just sold this. I want to say. A sarusaphone, which I can't even describe to you what it is because I don't know exactly what it is. But I can tell you it's big and has lots of curvies on it. This is how much I know about musical instruments. I can point them out and know what they are. But anyway, we sold it to a musical instrument museum in Arizona for $10,000. It was so cool. They just they saw it on eBay and they're like, "Can we have that?"
Wow, yeah. $10,000.
Yes, you can. Let me ship it out to you.
Is that the largest order you've seen come through, or what's the largest one you've seen go through?
Oh, that's a good question. Because sometimes people buy things like a whole bunch at once. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say that's the largest. Mm-hmm. I would think, I mean, we had a guy buy like, let's see, like 6 trombones last week, and he was in Germany.
Oh.
So, I mean, that probably was more than 10,000.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
But I guess I was thinking of like largest single item.
Oh, like size wise?
No, price wise. Like, so.
Price wise.
Yeah. Like if it could have been like a trombone for $50,000.
Oh gosh. You know, they have things like that. And I know that Matt has sold something for at least twice that much, like somewhere in the $20,000 range. Mm-hmm. And if he were here, I'd ask him, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Some rare whatnot.
Okay. Some rare whatnot. Okay. So, you know, you've been working for a business that resells, you know, you didn't think of it that way initially, but you know, what we haven't said is that you've since entered the world of reselling for yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How and when did that start?
Well, I kind of started doing a few things after eBay opened mm-hmm. last year. So I went to the Top Seller Summit with my boss in Las Vegas, and it was super fun. And I got to hang out with you, and you introduced me to such fun people. And everyone was like, yeah, you should do this. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe. It looks hard. I don't know. And like a year before that, when you first started, I think, selling on Poshmark, or maybe mm-hmm. when you first got a virtual assistant. I don't know. We were out mm-hmm. Eating ramen, and you told me about Poshmark, and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. So I downloaded it and I looked at it, and I was like, I just took some crummy picture of like a shirt mm-hmm. and hung it on the back of my door. And I was like, okay, let me try this. And then like, I didn't fix the notifications.
Yeah.
So I just got like 1,000 notifications on my phone. And I was like, what is this possessed app? Get it away from me. I deleted it and didn't think about it again until like a year later. But, you know, after eBay opened, I was like, this seems like a lot of fun. And I love these people. It's a great community. Maybe I'll try this for myself. And I started selling things for my mom mm-hmm. at first on eBay, just to kind of like see what it was like. Mm-hmm. And it's really different, first of all, when you start out selling than what I do as my job, because there's a lot of different rules for when you have a store and you're selling like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of things a month, rather than when you start new and you're like, oh, I have, you know, 5 shirts for sale. It's very different. But yeah, I started giving it a shot, and I would say it wasn't until October, so maybe 6 months ago, mm-hmm. that I started buying things, thrifting to sell. So I just started with stuff around the house, mm-hmm. and then like, oh, wow, these things really sell on Poshmark, and they really sell on eBay. And I just, you know, kind of got better at it by watching your YouTube videos. It's like, hey, there's my friend Anali. If I have a question, I'm going to ask her. I trust her. Let me check it out. Like, but yeah, and it's been really fun selling my own things. And the thing is, I just really love thrifting. Like, I love shopping at a thrift store. I always have. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where's a way I could do that and not lose money?
Right. And gain money.
Yeah. Instead, make money.
Right.
You know, like, I like this. This is like, seriously, my favorite thing to do is to go hang out at the thrift store and find good finds. And now it doesn't even matter what size it is. I can just find something cool and sell it and make money. I love this.
I know. You kind of get to scratch two things at one time, two itches at once. It's like you get to shop, and then you get paid for it. assuming you list it and assuming you sell it, right?
Right.
That's half the
battle. You know.
So, exactly. You know, since you had a background working for, you know, a company that already sold on eBay, when you started listing your own items on there, I mean, what was your comfort level? Was there a comfort level?
Really, really high. Like, I hear a lot of people are scared to start eBay, and it's not scary at all to me because I'm used to it. I do it every day. But I think eBay is really easy and straightforward, and I don't get the fear. And if anyone's scared, like, you should just do it, because it's really not scary. The only thing you have to think about is shipping. Mm-hmm. And I think once you decide how you want to do it, that's not hard either. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to decide what you're, you know, how you want to do it. Are you going to let them decide for you? Are you going to just set your own shipping price? Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the only questionable thing on there.
Mm-hmm. So then
I do it all from my app on my phone, mm-hmm. because it's annoying to have to switch back and forth from my work account to my personal account on my computer. So I just do it all on my phone, so I don't have to do that.
So
again, finding workarounds for anything instead of finding solutions. So I will find a workaround, make it work.
So then when you started listing on Poshmark, okay, so then coming from eBay to Poshmark, and I know that you had downloaded the app in the past and thought, okay, what the heck is this? What are all these notifications? You know, coming back to it again, what was the learning curve there? Because they are two very different platforms.
It's pretty user-friendly, I thought. I really am not the kind of person who likes to jump through any extra hoops. Mm-hmm. So in that way, like, Poshmark is somewhat annoying to me, I guess. Like, I like it because it sells things and I get money, but I don't like sharing mm-hmm. things because I feel like I'll share my closet every day because I want to be at the top of a search right. list. But I don't want to do any of the other things. Like, I don't want to participate in all the things that they want me to participate in. I just want to do things that's going to make me money because that's what I'm there for, not to do anything else, I guess. Even though it has a great community, I think what Poshmark is really good at is building community. But then I think it's easier to communicate with said community on Instagram. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I think it all moves over there. All the good parts of that community is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to, like, play with it on Poshmark. I just want to listings and I'll do all their sharing. But once I got, like, the ambassador status, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm not sharing anybody's anything anymore.
Right. So, and I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned the community. As somebody who, you know, sells in a different category for their, you know, your job, right? You're selling instruments, right? And then to move to clothing. And I know that you have, in some ways, experienced the music category realm of community because of events you've attended, right? Like, for mm-hmm. instance, I know that you've gone to NAMM. What is it? What does that acronym stand for?
Oh, no, not even. I know, ask me probably that. National Association of Music Merchants. I'm 90% sure.
I feel like we're missing an A, though. Isn't it NAAM or is it NAM?
No, NAMM.
Oh, MM. Okay, there we go. I was like,
National Association Music Merchants. I think that's what it is. But what it is, it's a huge, huge conference in Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center every January, and people come from all over the world. Every musical instrument manufacturer, accessory maker, music store owners. It's huge and it's so much fun. There's a lot of classes. That's what I go to. That's what I do when I'm there, is mainly go to NAMU, which are all these industry professionals teaching you how to do things that you want to learn how to do.
So, and I'm wondering, you know, I know you went this past January, right?
I did.
You know, now that you had started to dip your toe into reselling for yourself, I'm curious if there was any, like, nuggets you got out of that you felt like you could apply to your business now.
Yeah. You know, what I did a lot of while I was there is listen to what people had to say about social media and how to increase your presence on social media. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to use that more towards not my business, but the business I work mm-hmm. for, my other business, not my personal business, mostly because I feel like I don't know how much I love hanging out on social media all day. And it takes a lot of work. Like, it's not easy to develop a following. It's a lot of work. And I'm just not sure how much my heart is into it. Yeah. So, you know, doing it as a job is one thing because I'm getting paid for that. But doing it for myself, I'm just not sure how I feel about it yet. I'm there. I'm present. I comment on people's mm-hmm. things because I feel like I learn a lot. But I'm not sure I have much to contribute personally yet. And until then, like, I feel like I don't want to just make up content that bores me and everybody else who looks at it. So I don't post a lot. But, you know, I'm trying to take it easy on that. But I do love being on there, mostly because I love seeing what other people are doing. Like, that's how I've learned tons about which brands are selling mm-hmm. is because people will tell you, I sold this, I sold that, I sold it for this much. And I go, okay, well, that's the brand I'm going to keep my eyes out for, you know, and people are just there, you know, they're building their own following, mm-hmm. which is great because there's a lot you can do once you have a following. And they're just handing out all the information you could possibly want, plus some. So, like, I'm there to absorb for now.
Yeah. So, but for how you're applying it to your boss's business, I'm curious, you know, what info did you hear at NAMM that maybe was helpful? Because are you working on the social media then for the instrument business?
Yes. Well, yes, I am. But it's not a big part of what I do now. It's more like I do it when I have time for it, and time is in real short supply at the moment, but it is something we're looking to for the future. So a lot of what we looked at is like how to optimize your people, the conversion rates, people seeing your social media and coming to your store, and, you know, advice on how much you should post, which is so funny because you'll go to 1 hour long like seminar about like post once a week, don't compete with yourself. And you'll sit that in that same chair and the next person will come on. They'll be like, post 5 times a day. And it's like, well, what's right? I don't know. And I think maybe it just depends on your audience. So, you know, there's no answer as far as I'm concerned, because every professional seems to say something different. So I just kind of pick up bits and pieces of what I see there and kind of tuck it away for when I can focus more on it. But one thing we're trying to do more is to, like I said, produce, I think the main point is to produce good content that people are interested in, because it's not really good for selling. And I think some people make it work for selling. But I think it's just not made for that. It's made for letting people know who you are. It's made for brand awareness. So I think what we're trying to focus on right now is having our techs, the people who work on our instruments, show what they're working on. Cause that's what's really interesting. They're way more interesting than I am when it comes to the musical instruments. So we're having them do what we call bench posts. It's like, what's on my bench? What am I working on? Like, what is this, you know, 1920s, you know, trombone that with this really cool engraving? And that's what people are liking. And so we're trying to do more of that. Trying to push to get the people who are our experts to produce content, which is hard because that's not like the people who will do the best at this job are not the most interested in it.
Yeah.
So it's hard because the people who have like all this interesting stuff in their mind, they're like, yeah, I don't care. I don't really want to do it. Okay. So that's what we're trying to work towards, is getting some really cool, fun, interesting content. And I'm trying to work with our people who, I think our followers are going to think are fun and interesting, and to get things from their brain onto our Instagram and our Facebook. So it's, you know, a working process, but it's not, I don't have the answer.
No, that's okay. No, I mean, I think that's interesting what you said about like the bench posts of like, what's on my bench, what I'm working on, because people who are into, you know, brass instruments or whatever, they are going to be intrigued to see like, okay, what's on deck, like what's coming up, what might be for sale soon, that sort of stuff. So I do think that that is interesting and can be applied, I think, in any part of a reseller's social media. You know what I mean?
I do too. You know, the things I like to look at on other resellers' Instagrams is when they show me your lighting setup. Show me how you did that. Like show me what you're up to. Show me your shopping cart full of stuff. I want to see it.
Exactly.
So show me the behind the scenes.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, the behind the scenes is what people want to see. You mentioned that, you know, you briefly said that being short on time. I mean, I'm sure you're short on time for many reasons. So you're a mom. But, you know, we are recording this episode in May of 2020. For anybody who listens in the future, we are in quarantine, shelter in place, whatever you want to call it.
Due
to COVID-19. Has business picked up? I mean, has it looked differently for the company that you work for? If you're comfortable saying, and you don't have to say if you don't like to either.
Yeah, no, I don't, it's been steady and it's been good. We were, I feel like, making more growth than we are now. So, you know, it's something to think about. But right now things are going well. No one has a recession proof business, but for us, it's helpful that we sell used instruments, a lot of them. You know, that's what we do generally is used instruments, more than we sell new instruments. And people are not going to want to stop making music, but they are maybe going to look for cheaper instruments. And what are they going to find? They're going to find us. So, so yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Our owner feels pretty good about it, and I'll just follow his lead.
Well, I bet the guy who returned stuff on the cruise ship hasn't been bothering you.
Exactly. Haven't heard from him in a while. I wonder why. No.
I mean, bless him wherever he is.
Good luck to you, sir.
So, you know, being that you work this job full time during the week, how do you fit reselling into your schedule, you know, your personal reselling business?
It's not easy. What I used to do when the thrift stores were open, every Monday I would go to the tag sale. So I have two kids at two different schools. So I'd drop the first one off, drop the second one off, and then take the baby with me, like in a carrier, to the thrift store. And we would do our tag sale buys. So I'd have about 1 hour to do that. So I have to just hustle in there and look at everything, go pick and choose where I'm going to go. Like, okay, well, I have enough jeans. So maybe I'll go to this aisle. And I have a time limit. I have about 1 hour. So, and then I check out, then I go to work, and Monday's our busiest day. So it's really not convenient that that's the day of the tag sale, but I mean, it is what it is. And then head to work. But now I don't have any new inventory because the thrift stores have been closed and I didn't have a death pile.
Yeah.
So I just have to kind of I've slowed down my personal business a lot to kind of keep things going. I keep trying to – I heard someone on your show say refer to eBay as like feeding the beast. Because you have to keep listing things, or the stuff you have listed already won't sell. And so I have kind of a backup plan where I have some of these old vintage Life magazines. And they're in my mom's garage. They're hers. She's had them since the 70s. And so I've just been listing them one at a time to have something going. And I find that even if I just have one thing listed a day, that's enough to keep people buying what I already have.
Yeah, that's.
So I don't sell a lot of those Life magazines, but just listing them is enough to keep me in the algorithm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you may eventually at some point, hopefully not like years down the road, but you will see some traction with those, because I know for me, when Shelter in Place first started and I didn't have inventory, I was listing books in my home just because it was like something easy. And the great thing about books is that you can just scan the UPC on the back and then it pulls all the information really quickly. So it's really easy to create a listing in like a minute or less. So I was doing that just to keep the algorithm happy. And then what do you...
Feeding the beast.
Yeah, feed the beast. I was feeding the beast. And then what I noticed, you know, in the past few weeks, so it's been about a month or so now at this point, is that some of the books are starting to sell. So I think it's kind of getting into whatever the algorithm, and maybe it's pushing me to the I don't know. You know what I mean?
I don't know how it works. It's a mystery to me.
A whole lot of folklore, like, but
I really want to know, but it just seems like, I don't know, some eBay secret on how things work. Like when we go to the Top Seller Summit, like I met like the vice president of eBay, and I just wanted to be like, tell me the algorithm. But instead I was just like, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know,
do you have any questions?
At all those events you went to, did you get any like golden nuggets? Was there anything that you were like, ooh, they're not telling the other sellers this?
They act that way, but I don't think so. They act like we're very special, but, I don't think so. I think you get an idea for how things are going. But you know, we don't really know the inner workings of eBay. My boss has a theory that they are trying really hard to get sold to a bigger company so that, because they're not making a lot of money, but I don't know the ins and outs of that. We had some hints of that when we were at NAMM this year, and they had such a small presence when they used to have a large presence, and They canceled eBay Open even before all the COVID-19. They totally could have gotten away. If they'd only waited like another month, they could have gotten away with like, oh, we're canceling it because of COVID-19. Right. But they canceled it. Like, there's a lot of signs that something's in the air. And, you know, they've had a lot of issues with leadership anyway. So I don't know what's going on at eBay, but I hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, exactly. I hope whatever comes out of it is positive. Or at the very least, as long as my sales are up, I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's going to be fine with them. It's a great platform because people know about it. That's its best feature, is that people use it.
Right.
You know, that's literally the best thing it has going for it.
Okay, so speaking of platforms, you know, we mentioned that you sell on eBay. We mentioned that you've been selling on Poshmark. Do you sell anywhere else?
I have some items listed on Mercari. I was doing, every time I added something new to Poshmark, I'd also add it to Mercari. But I forget about it sometimes. It's just sitting there on my phone and I just forget about it. I sold a purse, like this really cute Betsy Johnson bunny purse. And like, so, and I was like, oh, I love that. And then someone bought it on Mercari the other day. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot that was there. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I have to cancel this. And then I realized there was like two other things on there that had already sold. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I got to really keep up on this because I wasn't doing it. I mean, I don't know why it seems like such a blind spot to me, but I've made a couple sales on there. So, you know, maybe I just need to just give it a little while longer.
I mean, I think it's, you know, some of it is just figuring out like what is going to sell well there, what's going to do well. Don't ask me what that is, but
I don't know either.
It's kind of,
I don't know either.
You know, I mean, with platforms like Poshmark and Mercari, I think the benefit to those is it's not going to cost you anything to list there. So, you know, that's kind of the nice part, is you can just kind of throw anything up there and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't love their shipping situation and how they want to give everyone free shipping. I'm not Amazon.
I know. Well, for me, you know, I do the free shipping, right? Because everybody does it on there. But I just work it into my cost of the item. So I'm ultimately the item is just going to cost $4 more on there than it would cost on another platform if somebody else bought it.
And that seems like the way to do it. You have to set that minimum price higher than you otherwise would. That's something I like about eBay, is that you can just set like a good price for it and then allow offers at also a good price, but you don't have to worry about, I don't know. I feel like on Poshmark, it's just this game of, let me send you an offer. Let me send you an offer. No, I'll send you an offer. And it's just like, can you just buy it? Like, just buy it for whatever price
I mean, that would be nice.
To, like, higher, but so that I can send an offer. Like, it's just such a game. And
to Mercari's credit, for the most part, you can't really do lowballs there. I think they do have a custom offer button where you maybe could really lowball somebody. But for the most part, I think that it only gives you a few options of like a 5% offer or 10% offer. You know what I mean? It controls people a little bit more, makes them stay in their lane. kind of like, it doesn't let you insult people.
$3 money.
So even though sometimes an insulting offer is an offer I still take, but.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you.
Okay, so, you know, we know what your workspace looks like at for, you know, the instrument business, right? It's a large house.
Yeah. The solarium.
What is your personal reselling business look like? I mean, you know, you mentioned that you've been doing this kind of for 6 months. So has it developed its own little growth in your home?
Well, kind of, but kind of not. We live, I have a 5 people in my family, 3 kids, me and my husband, and we live in a small house. It's, 800 square feet or so. And I don't have room for anything. Like that's what I said. I don't have a death pile. It's not because I don't want one. It's because I don't have a place for one. I don't have a place for a lighting setup. So I don't, I shoot my pictures outside in my backyard up against our shed wall. And then I have to edit out the shed wall. Which I like the eBay feature because it just gets rid of your background and it works pretty well. Like it's a quality tool. They introduced that at eBay Open last year, and I thought I was skeptical that it would be better, but it's really good. I like it. So it gets rid of my shed wall. So great. So I do my photos outside. I just hang them up on hangers and shoot away on my iPhone. I don't do anything special with lighting. I just have to wait till it's the right, you know, till it's the right weather outside, which was hard in the winter because the sun goes down at like 3:30. Right. And it's like, oh, I got to rush home after taking the kids and take my photos. And
because I have seen your full-time job, I have gone and toured the home, which is, you know, so interesting. But you know, have you ever thought about taking photos there, doing your photos there?
I have done some photos there. Like I said, on the Mondays where I just bring my tag sales stuff in, I would go to the photo room and take some pictures, but it's all set up for photographing instruments. Mm-hmm. And I can't get it. I cannot get enough light in there to make a shirt the right color. Like I just can't even do it. So I can do shoes and I can do bags in there, but I can't do maybe jeans. I've done jeans in there, but I can't do a dress. It's just not set up right. And if I move everything, our photographer will be really unhappy. So I just go in there and sneak in and don't touch any of her stuff except try and turn her lights on. But it's not a good photo setup for clothes at all. So I've had better luck outside. Yeah. I do my shipping there though, which is awesome because I use all of our shipping supplies that come in recycled. Mm-hmm. And my boss is really supportive. He's like, yeah, use whatever you want. But I try to not use anything that he's actually paid for. Yeah. I just use like the things that have come in and like the free USPS boxes. I print all my labels there because we have free FedEx labels. So I just print them there right off of a laser printer onto a sticker and plop it
Fabulous.
On.
That's great. So in thinking about your personal reselling business, I'm curious what challenges you feel like you face right now.
I mean, for me, like, I have like the same 3 challenges I think that everybody else has. I have not enough time, you know, not enough money and not enough space, right? So it's like I have all of those issues. So the space, I can't expand much. I have like one big bin that's full of dresses and tops, and I have one big shopping bag, like reusable shopping bag full of pants. And I have another large bag full of coats and shoes and accessories. Mm-hmm. And if they don't sell, like I need them to get out of there. So I have to be so picky about what I buy. So that's my main goal is to get better at that. Always. Right. But I feel like that's where I've also seen the most improvement is buying better stuff so it doesn't sit around because I just don't have room for it.
And I think
you know, well, there's just the time issue is that I don't have any. I have 3 little kids who always need something. So I just have to list when I can. I usually use the like the drafts feature in Poshmark and the eBay feature where you can just set it to list whenever you want it to, like list this next Monday. So if I have time to do like 10 listings at once, I'll do them, but space them out so that I keep listing each day rather than 10 in one day and then zero for 10 days because I don't have time. So that's kind of like my time management. Also, I have such little time to find inventory. So I have to work that into and make sure everyone still gets fed and does their homework. And it's a lot. It's a lot. My husband is still working and he's doing overtime right now because a lot of people, he works for Community Transit, which is our county's bus system. So a lot of the people are older and not coming in because they're high risk. So he worked nonstop up until this week. So like on like 5 weeks straight. So I'm trying to work from home. I'm trying to make everything work with, you know, no help. And I don't know. It's better now because he's home because he usually cooks our food. And that's such a relief to not have to cook dinner. And he's a good cook, too.
Well, that helps, I was going to say.
Yeah. So I like when he's home because then he's taking care of things. But a lot of it, I'm on my own. I've got the three. There's the virtual school to do. So it's like, what am I doing today? How many jobs do I have? And it's a lot. So reselling has been like my lower priority thing to do.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think, yeah, we're all kind of adjusting to our new normals and wondering how long it's going to last.
Yeah, and we just don't know yet. I've heard rumor that school might not come back until January.
I've heard that too.
It's a scary thought. I mean, it's a scary thought, but whatever we have to do, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly. So I know that, again, kind of on that note, it's hard to predict our futures right now. But, you know, my question is, you know, where do you see the future of your business going? And I know that in this moment, it's maybe hard to say, but if, I don't know, I was to ask you this back in January, what would have been your answer to that? And maybe it's still the same today.
You know, I think it probably is the same. Cause I've been able to kind of just maintain, over, you know, while we've been in isolation, but, you know, I'd like to see some growth, with my business, maybe working harder on other platforms, maybe purchasing a few more items, just making sure that they're the right items. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit of growth. I was thinking I'd be able to focus more on it once the kids are all in school, because that would guarantee me, at least I thought it would, guarantee me a few hours to myself in the day. But it's kind of just going to see where the future takes me. For now, like, I'm happy to keep selling things, but I miss the money I was making before quarantine versus now, because it's definitely less.
Yeah.
And it was like a nice little source of extra income.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had the thought of like, I want to grow this to just have my own reselling business? Or do you like having, I don't know, maybe the stability of, you know, this other reselling company that you're working for and then doing this as kind of your side hustle?
I love stability. Stability is, sorry about that beep. I had to roll up the windows because this guy, this maniac with the chainsaw is out here like trimming hedges. Like, good timing, bro. Okay. Sorry, where was I?
Oh, no. Maniac with the chainsaw.
I know. My whole thing is
no, you're saying...
Yeah, I do. Stability. I do. I love stability. I love working not hourly, but having a salary and knowing exactly what I'm going to make. Like, it's for someone who just grew up without much money, and this is like my first time having a good salary. Like, I mean, it might even be, I think it's my first time actually having a salary and not working hourly. Like, I love it. I love it so much. So I don't know. It would take a lot for me to work just to stop doing that, to like be able to put that to the side. Right now my husband has a good job with good insurance, so it's like it's possible in the future, you know, maybe that being something I could do. Like, I'd like to do it. I think it's a good way to spend your life doing something you like doing.
Yeah.
And also having such flexibility, because that's something I have a lot with my job now, but not, you know, not entirely. My boss is really great because he doesn't want us to do anything like work and live in a way that he wouldn't want to do. So, you know, he doesn't make us a slave to his operation at all. If I need a day off, I'm just, okay, I'm not coming in today because I need a day off. You know, there's no formal paperwork. There's no, we just work together, and he really treats us like humans, not like people working for him, just like his friends working with him is how he treats us, which is like a real breath of fresh air. And so as long as I have all the things I need, I'm getting paid well, I have flexibility in my schedule that I can take my kids to school and pick them up from school and still have a, you know, a real job where I make real money, like, great. Like, I would not give that up. But who knows what the future may bring, because I could do that for myself too. And that would be amazing. But right now it's just like, I can't picture it, but I can see like a little glimmer of it. Like, I can see like, maybe it was really far away, but I can see a tiny bit of it, but like, maybe in a few years I'll walk closer to that. We'll see.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like you said, you're in a great situation right now with a lot of flexibility. I mean, right now you kind of have the perfect situation, which
I
is
you have an eBay boss, a really good eBay boss.
Yeah, you have a really good eBay boss, you're working for a really great eBay business. And I think that, I mean, whether we call it an eBay business or just like an online seller or whatever it is, I think that why a lot of people get into reselling is for the flexibility. And ultimately what it sounds like is that that benefit has trickled down.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to. Like, he could very well hire people, pay them minimum wage, and, or, you know, he could be doing that and saving himself a lot of money, but he doesn't. And I really appreciate that, because he knows he could be doing that. But I think it makes him feel good too, to like, be like, hey, this business is doing really well. How about I help other people do really well too? You know?
Yes. At our holiday, exactly. Investing in his employees.
In our holiday dinner last year, he said, you know, it's really nice to have a great business and to work for myself, but it's even better that I get to do it with my friends. And it's just like, oh, so heartwarming.
That's awesome. You're like, who's your friend?
That's another part of my job that we didn't mention at all, is that I get to be the party planner, and it's so fun because it's like, what do I think would be fun to do? Let's go do that.
Oh my gosh, yes. You're like, what restaurant have I wanted to try?
We've eaten some really good food, because like I said, I worked at that. I worked at a really nice restaurant. It's the only Five Diamond restaurant north of San Francisco and west of Chicago, here in good old Woodinville, Washington. And it's a beautiful place. So I met Matt because he goes there all the time, because he loves food. He's a foodie. So whenever we get to go out to dinners, it's like, oh, where are we going to go? It's going to be something good. And we're going to go spend lots of money and have it all be tax deductible, because it's an employee party.
Absolutely right.
It's a business meeting and it's all going to be great. And so we've eaten a lot of really good food, especially when we were in Las Vegas. We go see shows. It's good. Like, he cares. He wants to have fun, and he wants us to have fun too.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it's a good job.
Well, I'm like, don't keep talking about it. People are going to start sending in their applications.
Okay. We can send it to me. I'll be the one who takes them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my last question for you, Jenny, is, you know, I know that, like you said earlier, you're about 6 months into your own reselling business, which is still fairly early on. I mean, you do have, but you have years of experience in e-commerce in general. But for your own business, I'm curious what advice you would give yourself when you were first starting out.
You know, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I feel like I would say get an iPhone, because I didn't have one before. And you know how much easier you don't, because you've always had an iPhone. But let me tell you, I had a really nice Galaxy and I really liked it, had it for years. And then my husband's like, you're getting an iPhone. And I was so resistant to it. So I was like, I'm not joining your Apple cult. Like, I'm not doing it. But then when I did, all of a sudden I could take better pictures in a square already. And then like the apps are better. The podcasts are easier to get to. And so I've been able to listen a lot, learn a lot. And then like the Completely app is basically what I use to determine whether or not to buy something. And you've helped me with that in the past. I learned about it from one of your YouTube videos. And I think like if I hadn't have had that, everything's harder. It's a lot easier with an iPhone. This is not a paid ad, but I'm just telling you, it's a lot easier with an iPhone. But you know, a lot to do with that Completely app. The other thing I would tell myself is to like, don't just buy things because you think that they're cool. That doesn't mean that people are going to pay you for them. So,
that's a hard one that people have to learn.
It's tough. I remember being like, Lucky Jeans. I love Lucky Jeans. And now I still have like probably every pair of Lucky Jeans I've ever bought.
Oh no. I know. We're all guilty of it. It's so hard because, I mean, unless you, I don't know, went to fashion school or all you do is read fashion magazines or fashion blogs all day. I mean, for the most part, we're all familiar with mall brands, right? Because those are the items that we shop for. However, those are also the most saturated items. And while they still are profitable and you can run a great business on bread and butter type brands, you know, it might be harder to get the return on investment.
Yeah, I had to learn a lot of new brands. A lot of new brands that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Still learning.
Yeah. And always still learning, right? I mean, it's kind of never ending. That's the problem.
It's like you see things like, I remember they were selling like a million. Everyone was buying, what is it, Wild Fox at the TJ Maxx or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you guys know if you all buy it, then it's not worth anything, right? Like,
things change really quickly.
Fluid, like what is hot and what is selling and what's not going to be selling in 2 weeks, and it's like it's a continuing learning process, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cool. Well, thank you for sharing all of that with me. Thank you for indulging me on all of the questions I had regarding your full-time job during the week, because I think that, I mean, that again, that could be probably its own episode. I feel like there needs to be like a video version, like
of, oh my god,
you know, like
love,
MTV like Cribs.
You've been there, you know how strange
for your
it
office
is, that it's a house. It's a weird house.
It's so, I mean, yeah, it's definitely an experience. And honestly, I think you need to do like an Instagram tour of it one day or something, just so people need to fully understand what this looks like. What did you say?
Number one seller of Brass and Winds
for the category.
Our category is technically toys, which is ridiculous, but that's what it is. Thanks, eBay. But so we're not the number one seller in our category, but we are in the number one seller of band and orchestra instruments.
So interesting. Well, and to say that, to be the number one in that category, and then I think a lot of people imagine this, you know, I don't know, 40,000 square foot warehouse.
Yeah. Nope,
you know what I mean?
It's just a really big house.
And to see, to see that you can still be operating a really successful business out of, and maybe an unconventional space.
We were able to keep operating even though we're under, you know, we're supposed to be isolated and a lot of the non-essential businesses are closed. We are not, because we're home-based, even though no one lives at the home. But we're being really careful and only one person at a time is going in. So today was my day.
And it's also a very big house with not a lot of people.
There's plenty of room. Like, we could all be there and not even see each other, you know, all day. It's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because when I visited you, we didn't see anybody for a while.
We just didn't see him. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work, but thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
As always. And
thank you so
just
much
delighted
for having
to speak
me on
with
the show
you.
And for putting up with the chainsaw wielding maniac trying to take up all the background.
No, it's going to make for entertaining content. So, all right. Well, I will talk with you soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you again to Jenny for being on this week's episode of the podcast. As always, my dear friend, it was a pleasure to talk to you more in depth about your job and be able to share it with the reselling community. You know, I find your workplace eternally fascinating, and I'm so happy that you are now a part of the reseller community as a seller yourself. Again, you can find Jenny on Instagram, Poshmark, and eBay under the username NW, like Northwest, Cedar, and Sage. I hope you all have been having a wonderful week. Hopefully sales are maybe picking up for you. If you've been able to thrift in your area, I am jealous of you. My state is still shelter in place. Of course, stay safe, wear your masks, gloves, whatever precautions you need to take. In the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.